Blog Talk Radio.
You know the drill. This is your host here, Will Coy, on the Aftermath Show. Welcome you to another show here for this week. We'll talk about the post-apocalyptic genre. We've got some interesting little items here for this week. Both Fallout New Vegas, new trailers was put out last week, or actually the Friday before last. And got some interesting little insight as far as what the makeup, or at least what the setting kind of will look like in New Vegas, which will be obviously a little bit different, much different from what we're used to seeing in Fallout 3, which is set into the Washington, D.C. wasteland. Also, I want to touch base here on the new Survivors on BBC America. Their first episode premiered, the pilot did this past Saturday. And I'm going to have a little comments here about that pilot coming shortly after we talk about here about New Vegas. There's some other news out there also want to share with you. I did see a little interesting tidbit I want to just quickly go over with, or just that I found, just kind of to speak about. Back in December, they had the first Road Warriors get-together. Basically, not really, I wouldn't call it a convention, but basically it was set about 2 hours outside of L.A. in the desert, and I saw some of the photos for the first time. Now, this is February, so this happened a couple of months ago, and I have read a little bit about it, something, you know, earlier that year about them organizing, putting something, you know, having a Road Warrior weekend out in the desert. And I really didn't see much on it. I think I didn't really follow up on it that closely, but I wish I had, because I saw some really awesome pictures from the weekend back in December. It was early part of December, and they had some cool MFP cars. They had the cool Mad Max vehicle out there, and a lot of the people were dressed up in Road Warrior outfits, kind of like this really cool punkish kind of leather, you name it, Road Warrior style, just a really cool looking. A lot of the different costumes that people made, apparently, for that weekend. And they had a cool little setup there in different camps. They had Fez, who was, the commander, the guy, the tough guy, the Mohawk that we saw in Road Warrior. He was there, that must have been really cool. And they had music apparently there all night, and they had a lot of people with motorcycles and such, and all kind of cool blades. I'll try to put a link up on the Blog Talk Radio. I haven't put up yet, but definitely check that out, and I'll try to just put a link there saying Road Warrior Weekend, and click that link once I put it up, and I'll take you directly to where the photos are online. And also, there's a MySpace page dedicated for that, the person who's organizing the festival there. And what I just read this morning, looks like we're going to try again in 2011 to do another one. So that would definitely be something if you're interested in the post-apocalyptic genre. If you'd like to have some fun, meet some other people that are, that are really into the, the Road Warrior, movies. And just looked like a lot of fun. Your host here, Will Coy, probably may try to make a travel out that way to check it out myself. I really probably would enjoy it. I'm sure I would. But let's just let me get right to the video here that a lot of people are talking about. Obviously, I'm a big Fallout fan. I followed the series here since the 90s. I really haven't become a really a gamer of the Fallout series until Fallout 3. I had played some of the Fallout 2. I never owned the game, never played it all the way through, though. But I have gotten Fallout 3, and I've played it immensely, enjoyed it a lot. And obviously, if you already know, if you've played the game, it's kind of set in a background of kind of like a wasteland of Washington, D.C., and the surrounding area. This New Vegas game is set, obviously, in the Las Vegas future. And obviously, as we already know, the Fallout world is an alternative future than what our timeline or our history line is. It basically separates there after World War II and the 50s. The Fallout series kind of follows a different technological path, and different events happen through that timeline in history than what our reality, our current history timeline is. And it's basically set kind of in a futuristic kind of 50s kind of pop culture style. Obviously, if you play the game, and the music's kind of 40s, kind of 50s. It's really, really cool, the soundtrack they have set up for Fallout 3. And it sounds like it's going to be also true for New Vegas. The video starts out with Frank Sinatra, Blue Moon. And what you see, basically, obviously, is a robot digging up a body, looks like, in the desert. We've always heard there's secrets buried in the desert. That's kind of the old saying in Vegas. But you see a robot uncovering a body there in the desert. And then it basically pans back. And then what you see is a futuristic Las Vegas. Looks lit up. It's lit up and basically intact. Almost untouched from the Great War. Basically, that's what they call it, the Great War. Nothing like what we saw in the Fallout 3 in the D.C. wasteland, where there's total devastation in most of the urban area of the city and surrounding area, and also with craters and that kind of thing, to kind of really give you the feel of the war, the Great War, and what had happened. What you see in the New Vegas trailer, as I said, it's kind of an intact Las Vegas, future Las Vegas. It seems to be somewhat untouched by the nuclear bombs. And what you see soon after that is in the foreground, again, in similar to the Fallout 3 trailer where you saw the Steel Brotherhood soldier in the foreground in Fallout 3. And this one you see Republic of California soldier. Now, as I said, I haven't played much of the Fallout series, the first one and the second one, but I've been reading and talked to other people who played the series. The Republic of California and that organization, that faction, have a very significant influence, or one of the biggest factions, actually, on the West Coast. And so we think that, since we kind of see that in the foreground, if it's something similar to what we saw in Fallout 3, obviously they're going to have a lot of influence in this New Vegas game and probably be one of the tougher or largest factions. Again, probably, this is kind of on the West Coast, setting in Las Vegas. So that kind of gives you an idea who the facts are, what you see in New Vegas. Now, I've done a little bit of digging around, and maybe you've already heard or maybe not. One of the magazines online has an interview with the creators of New Vegas. Now, these guys that are doing it, this are different from Bethesda. They are, I believe, Oblivion is the name of the company, and or Obsidian. They have a lot of the creators, or a lot of the creators in there, are actually a lot of direct creation with the original Fallout. And so, obviously, as you know, Bethesda bought the Fallout rights Oh my goodness, and I should have this right in front of me, and I don't. But they bought it from the company that originally had Fallout. They went out of business, but that's about all the rights from them. and those same people that worked on the original Fallout are now with Obsidian, and now Bethesda has gone to them to have them do the New Vegas game. So some of the original people who were involved in Fallout are now really got a lot of impact, a lot of influence in the creation of this New Vegas. So that'll be kind of interesting as we see some of this old kind of Fallout, some of the creators' influences back into this new game. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of what influences, what comes out of this storyline that we see here in New Vegas. The little bit I have read, or at least some of the understand from the interviews, basically this setting in New Vegas, our main character is going to be a courier, not somebody that initially comes out of a vault like we did in Fallout 3. This person will already be in the wasteland, and apparently something happens to that person. And part of that trailer where you see him digging up somebody and is actually maybe our main character, because from what I understand, our character is found by a robot that thus takes him to a local doctor who then nurses him back to health. And then, but we find out later that the doctor that nursed him back to health is somebody who did come out of a vault. This doctor gives our main character, a Pip Boy, and some of the other, some kind of vault, possibly, uniform, and some other weapons. And then our character basically goes out dealing with some of the different factions in the New Vegas. Now, from what I understand also, that there's something that will be different. Obviously, in the Fallout 3, you have, karma is very important. And it kind of dictates how your character is, if he's a good character, evil character. And that kind of influences some of the dialogue, some of the way some of the factions react to you. In this one, you'll actually have your reputation will be something that's very important. And I guess from what I understand, as far as your reputation is, you may do something for one faction, you may not do something for another, and that will dictate somehow their response will be towards you as a group. So if you're bad or you don't trade or you don't do anything or you're violent towards one faction, they may react the same way on first sight of you. Whereas if you do trade with them or help them with maybe some specific missions, or maybe you're neutral towards them, they're going to react that way based upon your reputation. So that's kind of an interesting little interesting little aspect that will be something new here in New Vegas. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I mean, that's kind of interesting. Obviously, there's going to be, from what I understand, ghouls again. Not some of the ghouls, but we'll have, obviously, the faction, the California Republic. Like I said, ghouls in it. But then we'll also have, the big green, the Freakazoids, what do you call them? Oh, my goodness, here I am. Well, what do we call those guys? You'll have some of the, other factions that you do in Fallout 3. And I can't, I'm sorry, the name just doesn't come to me right now as I'm trying to explain some of these different factions. I can't think of the name of them right offhand. That's killing me as much as I play Fallout 3. But obviously, you'll have some of the different same characters that you'll see in New Vegas that you did see in some of the Fallout 3. I tell you, give me 1 second here. I'm gonna pull up something here online, and I know as soon as I see it, I'm gonna just 1 second here. Let me see if I can pull it up. Here, cool. The Super Mutants. Okay. All right, Super Mutants is what I was trying to say. I kept saying ghouls. I couldn't think of their name at all. All right, you all have Super Mutants in New Vegas. I have read that. Some of Super Mutants in Fallout 3 are kind of not, wouldn't say, well, you could call them dumb, but somewhat dumb as far as, but they're very strong in Fallout 3 game. In the New Vegas, the super mutants, some of them, I think, are going to be smart. Not necessarily saying that all the super mutants will be smart. Just some of them, maybe a certain faction, a certain breed of them. But that's something that'll be different. That what I understand from Fallout 3. So you have your regular super mutants that you used to play in Fallout 3, but you also have some of these smart super mutants also into it. Also, another, you'll have slavers are back into it, the Marauders factions in the New Vegas. So you'll have kind of, a different aspect. Well, you'll have kind of the same aspect you did in Fallout 3, where you had slavers. You had fights against, like, the Enclave, and then you had, obviously, the Brotherhood still, super mutants. In Vegas, in New Vegas, you have kind of that scenario set up again as far as some of the challenges you'll have against some of the larger factions, like you said, the California faction, the Republic of California. But you'll have super mutants in it again, and you'll have, obviously, again, slavers and other marauders to deal with. So that's as much as I really, have read as far as what will be in the new Vegas. But it just sounds pretty interesting as far as the setup of the game, as far as being a courier and basically waking up, being healed back, and you automatically, you're basically have decisions on whether to help certain factions or help, the local people or turn against them. So a lot of those decisions, a lot of that will be apparently in the game. And it'll be really interesting to see the terrain that they do. Obviously in Fallout 3, outside of the D.C. area, it was kind of wasteland. In a way, it didn't really look like what you would think of Northern Virginia, you could say. It looked kind of really almost kind of I wouldn't say necessarily southwestern, but, kind of wasteland, dry, kind of atmosphere. And here we're going into a desert, more wasteland. It's kind of a little more familiar to the, genre, as, obviously Mad Max and the multitude of post-apocalyptic movies kind of set the desolate, background. So I'll be interested to see how they put the game together and influence, they have the Vegas backdrop. Obviously, Vegas will probably be a swinging place. It looks still intact. The lights are on. And who knows what kind of interesting, humorous type of encounters you'll be able to have in the game. And I think that kind of piqued my interest for sure, because obviously if you've ever been to Vegas, it's a very fun place. A lot of fun, a lot of things you can do. It'll be interesting to see how they put those put that into the game. Obviously it being intact, fairly as it looks from that trailer, you'll have easy access to kind of go around a pretty intact city. So we'll see how that kind of comes about. And obviously this is looking at a fall, probably around August, September, October release. And here we are in February, so I'm sure we'll probably see some more trailers and a lot more information coming out about the game itself. So I'll be looking out. And if I hear, obviously, any more news or anything else that comes out about the game, I'll share that with you. The second part thing I really wanted to talk about was Survivors. Now, Survivors, as you know, I'm a pretty avid Terry Nations fan of the first series. I've talked about it a lot of times here on the Aftermath Show, and I think it's one of the most complete series, one of the most interesting post-apocalyptic shows that's out there that really kind of goes beyond, also obviously the Survivors is set, a post-pandemic, post-apocalypse, so it's not, kind of like an aftermath of a nuclear war or anything, or an asteroid impact. So interesting. That's an interesting aspect because, if there's only so many survivors, in this case, Terry Nation sets up, that almost 99% of the population dies, 1% is going to be left with the rest of the world and pretty much intact. Obviously the power is going to go out, and a lot of our technological communications and the things that we're used to. But pretty much the substance, the food, a lot of things, obviously there'll be a lot of things going bad, you know, that won't last. But a lot of things will be left over, machinery. So it makes for a lot of interesting TV, a lot of interesting, you know, ideas, you know, come up when you think about that kind of post-apocalyptic story. Obviously, in the survivors, in the original, the survivors are left basically, you know, the cities, everything pretty much intact. In the remake here, which came the pilot here on this past Sunday, I'd have to say overall I like it. I don't, you know, it had a little bit of mixed feelings on it, on some of the characters, but the overall story pretty much similar to the original. Obviously, at the very beginning, not really too much deviation because simply most of the characters, the event is happening, and then soon after, I'm sorry, excuse me, soon after, you know, our survivors basically start coming together, finding each other, and then basically banding together. And that's pretty much what the pilot centered on. Now, the only kind of difference is that some of the characters they switched around. You know, the Tom Price that we had in the original was kind of a hobo. Tom Price here, played by Max Beasley, is kind of he's a prisoner, basically. He left in the prison. He's able to, you know, after everyone dies, him and a guard that's the only one left. And he's basically, you know, he gets away from the guard. You know, but he's a very interesting character. And other things like Jenny. Jenny in this one, she dies. So, you know, there are some twists to it that are, you know, as far as the characters with which setting it up, are definitely different from the original. Obviously, they have a very strong Abby in this one, but the story also is pretty similar to the original as far as in this one. Abby is concerned about her son Peter, who she believes is still alive. As she goes after the soon after the death, the fall of everyone, she goes to the school that he is attending. She looks through the school. She doesn't find her son Peter at all. And then she finds out from a teacher there, one of the professors, that he had been taken from there. He was still alive, but yet he was showing that he was sick. But also we know that Abby was sick with the disease. Also, she came back and recovered. Now, one thing I wouldn't say I didn't like, but I was a little disappointed in, I really felt that in the original Four Horsemen, the first episode of the original, one of the key components in that, I thought, is really set up the rest of the first series, was the encounter Abby had with the schoolmaster or the teacher. And in the original, the gentleman she meets near the ham radio that he's still trying to communicate with the outside world, and he basically goes through some of the things, really explain how tough it's going to be for somebody of this age and of technology, all of a sudden being transported back to a pre-industrial period, basically. And basically, you know, he was explaining to Abby, you know, how many steps does it take to just make a candle? How many steps or how many fabrications, how many steps does it take just to make a simple hammer? And all of those things are built upon one technology, on another technology, on another technology. They're also based upon, you know, years of, you know, different, you know, tool making technologies, and you know, it just was just interesting how in the original schoolmaster kind of, you know, really impacted the way, you know, way he told Abby, and the audience that's watching, and really made you think, you know, well, how, you know, how much you lose or how much can be lost once the, you know, if it's the end of the world and it's post-apocalyptic and everything, everyone is gone in this situation. And, you know, the people that are left, yes, there's, you know, like Gabby said, what about all the millions of cans of food left there? Well, there's probably millions of left cans of stuff left over. But eventually those they're finite. You know, they're not infinite. They're finite. They will, you know, eventually they will be no more of that. And you will have to learn how to, you know, grow food, take, you know, animals, you know, the whole thing. You have to learn on the farm to become an agrarian or a hunter. And, you know, that was a key moment, I thought, in the first episode when the schoolmaster in the first original, when he talked to Abby about, you know, all the things that, that they will need to expect going forth in basically this new post-apocalyptic world. And I thought it was kind of a letdown, not really letdown, but it didn't have the same impact in the new one. Also, I didn't really care for the public ministry or health ministry deputy character they have in the new one. I thought the government part really, I mean, I could see where they were going with that. It would have kind of, but that character just didn't do it. If they wanted kind of a more government impact and make it more serious, I just think they could have done it differently in a different way, different characters or something. You know, in the original, they kind of used the public transport, like the train, the person at the train station, the conductor, basically talking about how things are going to pots, and and the doctors that were talking to him, you kind of had a feeling what was going to, how serious it was, and when you start to see the trains not working, that kind of things are not right. In the new one, they don't really show that so much, although they do show the death, and they kind of use that. But they use kind of, they come out with this, with the Deputy Ministry of Health, and, you know, with press conferences and that kind of thing. Well, one thing I can tell you right now, if that was my health care, and this didn't work, come on. It just ain't going to fly. But anyhow, that's just how I felt about it. It just didn't feel real to me. And so I was a little, I didn't get the same impact, or didn't feel the story was done as well as it was laid out in the original. That's just my personal opinion, I think, on that. So, but the remake is pretty good. I enjoyed it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching the rest of it. I hope you watch it too. Again, it's on the BBC America on every Saturday. I also wanted to remind you and encourage you to go check out the Aftermath Show on YouTube. Just got both episodes of The Lights of London. That's episode 3 and 4. This two-parter that I've got both of them up there now, including the whole first season and episodes 1 and 2 also of season two. I'll be putting up episode 5 this coming Sunday, and every Sunday I'll add a new episode to it. So definitely check out the new Fallout New Vegas trailer, and look for some more information coming out for that here in the future. Definitely check out Survivor's Remake. Check out their website on BBC America. I think you'll be pretty pleased with the website they've set up for BBC America for Survivors. And again, check out the Aftermath Show on YouTube. Okay, that's going to pretty much do it here for me, Will Coy. Appreciate you listening here to the Aftermath Show. We'll concentrate again on some more about Survivors. It's really what I've been following here a lot lately, so it's a lot of fun kind of commenting here after the shows. So that's probably what I'll kind of concentrate more on this coming Tuesday, so definitely listen out for that. If any more news comes out as far as on the Mad Max 4 Fury Road, which I'm trying to find out some information on now, I'll share that with you. If there's any other post-apocalyptic news, I'll share that with you also. So just tune in again next Tuesday. This is your host here, Will Coy. You have a nice day. Thanks for listening. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever